that even at a young age in life, most people come to realize that life is complicated. It's challenging, many obstacles, many difficulties, many disappointments, many dangers. And we're always looking, as human beings who are living in this world, for ways to, I would say, tackle these obstacles on two levels, on two fronts. One, to remove them, make life better. Let's avoid, let's conquer, let's beat, let's get around, let's overpower the obstacles and the challenges. And the second front is that in the process, and in case we're not totally successful, to be able to develop what I guess we would call a menuchas hanefesh, a peace of mind, so to speak, that we're able to cope with the challenges until such time as they're relieved, and even in the face of disappointment. Those, I think, are maybe the two most precious tools that everybody covets, everybody would desire. The ability to change the difficulties of life and the ability to cope with them as long as they're there, and even if, chas v'sholem, they don't change. And I think that there's a posuk and a rashi in Parshas Vayechi which gives us, according to the Vilna Gaon, an insight in how to do this. And the Gaon says that when Yosef and Yaakov finally met, Yaakov says to him the following phrase, Re'oi ponecho loy pilolti, to see your face, I never... literally, it means, like I never, Rashi says, loy melo'ani libi lachshoiv. My heart never allowed me, it never filled me with the optimism to think that I would ever see you again. So Yaakov expresses his joy at seeing Yosef by saying that it's roi ponecho loy pilolti. I never thought for a moment that I would ever be zeiche to the simcha, to the happiness, to the fulfillment, to the peace of mind, to see you again. And it's brought in the Avni Eliyahu that from the Vilna Gaon that this word pilolti is the shoresh of the word tefillah. The word tefillah comes from this word pilel, pilolti, tefillah. He says that's the concept of tefillah. The concept of tefillah is this positive, optimistic thought that yes, I will be zeicher. I will see Yosef again. Yes, Hashem will listen to my tefillah. Yes, Hashem will heal the sick. Yes, Hashem will bless the years with parnosa, with good sustenance and so forth. Yes, Hashem does this, Hashem does that. And it's a statement of optimistic thought. A really optimistic thought is a definition of a word that we all know very well. And that word is bitochin. Rashi says in Parshas Behar, when the Torah says, Vishavtem, if you'll keep the mitzvah of Shemitah, Vishavtem lo vetach be'artzechem, you will live in peace in your land. And Rashi says, lo vetach sheloi tidagu, you won't worry. It's the bitochin, betach, is the absence of worry. I'm not worried about anything. And there are two aspects to this not worry. One is I'm not worried because the problems will be resolved. Two is I'm not worried because even until they're resolved, or even if they may not chas v'cholila be resolved, or be resolved the way I would like them to be resolved, or the way they seem to me to be the best way to be resolved at the present time, I have this menuchas hanefesh. I don't worry. I don't worry. A Baal Bitochin doesn't worry. He has nothing to worry about. He knows it's going to be good, and he has the peace of mind to wait it out, to be zeicha to eventually see it happen, even if presently things seem to be moving a little bit or a lot too slowly for his tastes. So in reality, this is what tefillah is. Tefillah is a process of allowing us to achieve this sense of positive thinking, this sense of re'oi ponecho pilolti. I do have that optimism. I do have that positive thought. I do believe Hashem will. I do feel Hashem will heal the sick. I do feel Hashem will give us parnosa. I do feel Hashem will forgive me. I do feel Hashem will give me seichel. I do feel that Hashem will take care of us and answer all of our tefillahs and so forth and so on. So tefillah really is an opportunity to develop the two most critical skills that we need, I would say, survival skills that we need to survive in this world. The ability to be optimistic about the challenges of the future and to find a sense of hope and a refusal to give up that hope and even a sense of confidence that it's going to take place, and at the same time to be completely worry-free. Menuchas ha-nefesh, nothing to worry about. And the truth of the matter is that the tefillah process really, as it's built, inspires this sense, this type of a feeling. We start out by praising Hashem. We all know that Hashem needs not our praises. In fact, it's brought from the Vilna Gaon that praising Hashem, according to our myopic, our such limited understanding of him, is equivalent to, let's take the newly elected president of the United States, walking into this room, and we welcome him as welcome president of this space medrash. Now, he might have an affinity for Bote Medrash, I don't know, that remains to be seen. But I'm elected the president of the United States of America. And you call me the president of this room? Any praise that we could offer, according to our understanding of the greatness, of the goodness, of the kindness, of the mercy, of the truth, of all of the midas of Hashem, is so limited that in reality it's an insult. We insult Hashem when we praise Him. Why do we do it? And why does He want us to do it? Very simple. Because we grow in the process. When we recite the praises of Hashem, we realize, hey, there's someone there and here and everywhere who's all-powerful, who's all-loving, caring, merciful, giving, gets involved in the nitty-gritty and the minutest details of our existence, and, above all, He responds to our prayers. And even beyond that, He responds to the level of trust and confidence that we could put in Him. And that's what the exercise, if you will, of tefillah is. We praise Hashem, so we realize, hey, this is the one, this is the address, there ain't nobody else out there who could help us. He's the one. He can, He does, and He will. Then we begin a whole list of requests. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola organized those requests in general terms so that they cover the basic issues of life. The first few requests until after Mevorech Hashonim deal with the personal requests of the Jewish people. They're written in the Loshon Rabim because when we ask the Loshon Rabim, we have a much greater schus. We're coming as a unit. We're coming with the composite merit of all of the Jewish people. And therefore we have a much greater claim to anything that we ask for. And then after that starts the focus on the needs of Klal Yisrael, the suffering of the Golos and the Geula that's going to come. In fact, I would point out that the Re'eva Onyeinu, which we answer, Goal Yisrael, all the Mefarshim say that that's not referring to the Geula of Moshiach. That's referring to personal Geula, that redemption from our personal source. So until Mevorech Hashonim, we're talking about personal stuff. Then after that, we focus on Klal Yisrael. Then at the end, we come with this Shemea Tefillah. We ask Hashem to hear all of the Tefillahs because Hashem is Shemea Tefillah. And there's something very interesting in the language of Shemea Tefillah. We say, Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. Shema literally means listen, but not just listen, it means understand. We know Hashem understands, but we want it to be front and center focus. Chus V'rachim Oleinu. Have mercy on us. V'kabel V'rachamim U'varotzoin Es Tefiloseinu. And accept with mercy and with desire our tefilos, our prayers, that which we ask you. Why? Kikel Shemea Tefilos V'sachanunimoto. Because you're the God who listens. I don't get it. I'm asking him to accept. In other words, hear me out and do what I'm asking for because you're the one who listens. Shkoyach. I listen. And then I say, sorry. No. What are we saying? You should be mekabel. You should accept our tefillahs because you're the one who listens. And I think the answer is very obvious. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all he has to do is listen. When he hears that, then the acceptance is automatic. The given is that Hashem wants to answer our tefillahs. And that inspires a great sense of bitochen in Hashem because we know He's there for us. And the more you ask, the more I want to help you. And the more that you inspire yourself through the asking to rely on me and to be confident in me and to refuse to give up hope and to be at peace and not to worry, the more schus that you have that I want to answer you. So this is all part of listening to us and hearing us is something that creates a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to accept our tefillahs. Now, sometimes there is a delayed reaction. And sometimes there's a confused reaction. And I would like to suggest at least a bit of an explanation. It's really beyond us to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs his world in every minute detail. But we have some general lines that we could understand it. Sometimes there's a delayed reaction, and that delayed reaction is for our own benefit. Sora Imenu had to pray for 90 years until she finally had a child. 90 years. Why? Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfilosan shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves for the tefillos, for the prayers of the righteous. And the not righteous too, for that matter. So, 90 years, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs her prayers? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs nothing from no one ever. Never did and never will. But it elevates her. She becomes a greater person. Every time she turns to Hashem, she connects with Him more. She develops more of a confidence. She develops more of a focus. She develops more of a relationship. She reduces her level of concern and worry. She creates a greater menuchas hanefesh in her relationship with Hashem. And that's the schus that Hashem wants. She's elevating herself. I had a suggestion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu once. How do you like that? I would suggest like this. If I was running the show, I would have given Sora a child at 60. And let her say Hallel for the next 30 years. 60 years of begging. Wow, what an elevation. And from that point, she can further elevate herself for 30 years of Hallel. What could be greater? She would have to suffer less. Klal Yisrael would have gotten the show going sooner. And she would have had the same elevation in spirituality. The Teretz is, that's not true. You know what happens with Hallel. When we're in need, here we are begging and pounding and beseeching and crying and, oy, please, 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 please. The minute things happen, it works out even after 60 years of begging. I'm not saying sorrow would have been like this, but this is the general principle. We start saying Hallel. Hallel is beautiful. And it creates a sense of connection to Hashem. But we'll say the whole Hallel for about a week or two. Sora would have done much better. Then we'll start maybe with half Hallel. Then we'll start maybe, you know, we could whittle it down to Hoidu Lashem Kitoiv. Then maybe after a couple of weeks, Shkoyach, and it's all over. Like the guy, the famous story about this person who was looking for a parking space in Manhattan. Very difficult feat. And he had this 5 o'clock appointment, millions of dollars at stake, the most important appointment of his business career. And he's driving around, he can't find a parking, he doesn't see a parking garage. And Hashem, please help me, so much is on the line, I beg of you, I'll be your best friend, please help me. All of a sudden, right over there, he sees a parking space. Never mind, Hashem, I have the situation under control. And even if he said thank you, it would be a quick, perfunctory thank you, and then everything is forgotten. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon not to answer us yet. The answer is not no, the answer is not now, because you need to grow more. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers us better than we realize. What is tefillah? Do you know the source of tefillah in the Torah? The source of tefillah in the Torah is from the pasuk of Ulo'ovde b'chol avavchem. Ezu hi avoyde shebechol alev, shebelev, chazal don't say b'chol alev, but avoyde shebelev, zu tefillah. Service of the heart. Something that happens in the heart is tefillah. In fact, tefillah is really done in the heart. If anyone asks you on a test, what organ of the body is the critical organ of tefillah? Don't say your mouth. It's your heart. The mouth is just to focus the expressions and the feelings of the heart, because otherwise the feelings of the heart drift all over the Beis Medrash and all over the world. But now we're focused, but it's in the heart. Tefillah is in the heart. Sometimes Hashem answers what's in our heart, not what we said with our mouths. In my mouth, I thought that this deal is what I want to work, because I see that it's the biggest and the best and the greatest deal that I could ever make. Hashem knows, you want this deal? No, you don't want this deal. You want money. That's what you want. You want the bottom line, the result of the deal. And He knows better than I do that that ain't going to happen, because this deal is going to bring me to the bankruptcy court. Now, it looks like He's not answering us, but He's really answering what's in our heart, not what's in our mouths and what we think is the best for us. So Hashem has many, many cheshbonos, but the concept is there. Hashem, once He's shomea tefillah, then He's mekabel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and He cares for us. And those that turn to Him, He doesn't want to disappoint. He doesn't want to embarrass them. And the fact that they are turning to Him and have no one else to turn to, and counting and relying on Him and calming themselves down in that realization that it's all up to Him, and they're counting on Him and refusing to give up hope and waiting for Him to respond, that's such a schus. Hashem says, I can't let them down. I must do. In fact, Chazal say, tefillah is a machzor, that no matter, there's no tefillah that goes empty-handed. And even if it can't be done now, something's happening. And even if it isn't answered now, sometimes it's... Let me give you a moshel. I heard this once, or I think I heard it from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. He said, what's the pshat in the posuk? Shuvi nafshi l'mnuchoichi, ki Hashem gomal oloichi. My nefesh, my soul, calm down. Return to your state of rest. Get a little bit more menuchas ha-nefesh. Ki Hashem gomal oloichi, because Hashem has already taken care of it. He's already delivered. So he asked the question, if Hashem already delivered, so why do I have to calm my soul down? If He delivered, my soul is calm. My soul's not calm because I didn't get it yet. So why do I have to tell my soul to be calm if He delivered? So Rabbi Miller said, He delivered. It's just in the mail. It was sent. He did not like the checks in the mail. Not like one of those things. It was sent. We just didn't receive it yet. And that's the way we have to look at it. Tefillah is a machza. It accomplishes so much. And not the least of which it accomplishes is giving us the ability to have a menuchas ha-nefesh, not to worry, because it's all in His hands. He takes care of everything. He's responsible. And I develop this type of a relationship with Hashem that is so comforting, that is so strengthening, that is so calming, that I can live my life on the verge, on the edge of the most difficult and dangerous situations. Oh, no problem, no worry. Shaloi tidagu. Menuchas ha-nefesh, because I know Hashem is taking care of it, and I know how much He cares, and I know how much He loves. The truth of the matter is that, as we began, the tefillah is a step that elevates us to a level of bitochon. That's the tefillah. Tefillah is that positive machshova that gives me that sense of, it's going to be, I'm positive. You're the Reifei Cholim, I'm counting on you. You're the Mevorei Hashonim, I'm counting on you. You're the Shemei Atfilo, I'm counting on you. There's a very interesting comment from the Orach Chaim HaKodesh, and I think it's very, very relevant to this discussion. When Klal Yisrael was out of Mitzrayim, and they're in a real bind because Paro and his armies are chasing them from one side. The Yamsuf is raging over here, and he says wild animals are surrounding them on both sides. Moshe Rabbeinu calls out to Hashem, "Help! Help!" Hashem says to him, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ma titzak elai? What are you crying to me? Ma titzak elai?" Asks the Orach Chaim, "Who else should I cry out to? What would you suggest that I cry to the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim? What kind of talk is that? Ma titzak elai?" So he explains that there was a situation here because of what had happened in Mitzrayim, I assume, because of the Avodah Zarah, whatever. It doesn't explain exactly clearly, but Klal Yisrael was not able to have their tefillahs answered at this time. Tefillah, this was not the time for tefillah, because tefillah, the process of tefillah, was too long, I assume, would take too long, that's my own interpretation, to override that kitrug, he calls it, something that the sultan was able to interfere with and say, no, Klal Yisrael right now is not worthy that their tefillahs be heard. But Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu another eitzah. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Tell them to go into the Yam. Tell them to strengthen and exhibit their emunah and their bitochen in Hashem. That will do what tefillah couldn't do. Tefillah couldn't help at this time. The tefillah would take too long. Too much might happen in the interim. But that expression of emunah and bitochen, that going into the Yam and showing, we trust Hashem, that has infinite, infinite powers. And that, it seems, can be at times even more powerful than the tefillah itself. So in a sense, that's really what Re'oi Ponecha Lo'i Pilolti, the Sheresh of Pilolti is. Tefillah is an opportunity to turn to Hashem, to inspire myself with confidence, to inspire myself with continued ongoing hope, with a sense of Menuchas HaNefesh, and ultimately with a sense of I trust Hashem. And the trust that I can achieve through tefillah can oftentimes speed up the process and accomplish that which the tefillah itself may not have been able to accomplish at the time. And therefore, that's what we have to do. And therefore, I would like to suggest as follows. I would like to address an issue that I hear from so many people. We're all familiar with it. I just davened yesterday. I said all the psukim, the Zimra, and I said all the brochas, and I said the Birchas Krishma, and I said the Shmoneh Esrei, and I say it for Minch, and I say it for Ma'ariv. Like, you know, how much? How much? Forgive me in an aside, it's a bit irreverent, but in a backwards way, it makes fun of the point, which sometimes helps to bring the point in. They tell the story of two brothers. One was very, very wealthy, and the other one was poverty-stricken. The poverty-stricken brother was a tzaddik, always davening all the time and saying tilim and everything, and no parnosa. The wealthy one was not interested in anything, didn't bother davening, no tilim, no. And one day, this poor brother just couldn't take it anymore. And he comes to his rich brother and he says, "I don't get it. I do everything I'm supposed to do. And I'm constantly begging and begging and begging Hashem through tefillah and through tehillim, asking Him to help me. Nothing happens. You don't do nothing, and look what you got." And his brother says to him, and please don't take this seriously, he says, "You nudge him too much. You bother him too much." No, we're not bothering him. And the reason that we're not bothering him is not only that he doesn't get bothered, because he doesn't. But the reason that he so appreciates it is because we grow. Sorrow grew from the 60 to 90. She grew in a way that she couldn't have grown by just saying Hallel. We grow in the process. And that's what Hashem wants. So we have to realize that It's critical that we daven all the time. It's critical that we pay attention to what we're saying. It's critical that every day we find some new insight into some phrase, into some brocha, into some posuk, into some aspect of the tefillah, and take that and, wow, I have a new connection. I have a new level of connection. I feel an ounce, an iota, a millimeter closer to Hashem. And in that schus, I can make all the difference in the world in the ability of my tefillahs to be effective and in my own personal uplifted relationship and closeness with Hashem. So I think we have to look at tefillah not as a burden, but as a privilege. The privilege that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us and the secret that He has shared with us to, number one, be able to influence the future through the merit of our refusal to give up hope. And beyond that, through the merit when we achieve that sense of trust that Hashem will not let us down. And the menuchas hanefesh, and the lack of worry, and the peace of mind that comes in the process. These are the two most critical ingredients in facing the challenges of life. And these ingredients are available to us every day, three times a day, and even beyond that, whenever we access that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem should help that we should be able to develop a deeper sense of the privilege of tefillah and be able, through our tefillahs, to affect our lives, to affect the lives of our loved ones, to affect the lives of the life of Klal Yisrael and the world, and to be able to strengthen ourselves that despite how many difficulties face us and challenge us, we can live a life of menuchas hanefesh despite all of the insanity that goes on around us.